Have you ever wondered why stars twinkle in the night sky? Well, it's a question we've been asking for thousands of years. Many poems and songs have been created from ruminations on the night sky, and Claudia Copeland looks at why this phenomenon happens.
Why do stars fall down from the sky every time you walk by?
Has the nursery rhyme Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star ever left you wondering? Or have you ever just looked up at the night sky and wondered, why do stars twinkle? Well, I sat down with Fred Watson, Australia's astronomer at large, about his article on the science behind twinkling stars. Could you please explain the science behind why stars twinkle? Do they naturally twinkle?
The twinkling of stars is a phenomenon that's not actually anything to do with the stars themselves. It's just the fact that their light, when it reaches the end of its long, long journey from the star, and it might be thousands or even tens of thousands of years, the light is actually distorted by its passage through the Earth's atmosphere. So you've got this long journey with then 10 kilometres or so of the atmosphere, and that distorts the light. And that's what causes the twinkling. So it's a very pretty thing. I quite enjoy that twinkling, but to a professional astronomer, the twinkling is disastrous.
Yeah, in the article, you said that stargazers love the twinkling because it's so pretty, but astronomers don't, like you just said. Why is it? Is it just purely it distorts the vision in their telescope?
Yes. So professional astronomers don't look through telescopes. They've got sensitive electronic equipment on the back, which is actually where all your smartphone image sensors and electronic cameras came from. The world of astronomy has been using these electronic images for 40 years now. The effect of that is that if you're taking an image of part of the sky, trying to take a photograph of that, an electronic photograph, you can, with a big telescope, if you were in space, you would see at least 30 times more detail than you can on the ground, even on a really good night when the conditions are perfect. And when conditions aren't perfect, what happens is the detail is just washed out altogether. And the effect of that actually is it not just reduces the definition, it also reduces your sensitivity. So if you're looking for really faint objects, you look on a night where there's a lot of twinkling, a lot of atmospheric turbulence, you simply won't see the faint objects that you're trying to detect at all.
And in what ways are stars significant to Australia's First Nations people?
Like all long-established people, and our First Nations people are the longest established of all of them, the stars are a vital part of their culture, because when you go back to early times, the only entertainment during the night is looking at the stars. And so our First Nations people have got a rich heritage of star stories, with quite a lot of variation, actually, between the different groups of First Nations people, 500 different nations there. So there's this wonderful heritage of star stories. And actually, I guess you can contrast that with the Western view of the stars, the constellations, which have their origins only a couple of thousand years ago in Persia. Certainly there is, there's a wealth of stories about the stars as told in those Middle Eastern countries, but it's not anything like as varied as the stories about the stars that we have here in Australia.
And how has recent technology helped you understand stars better?
Actually, the first person to suss out what a star was made of was a man called William Huggins, who worked in London in 1869. That work has basically blossomed as our technology has improved. So what you're doing to understand what the stars are made of and what they're doing is you're spreading the light of a star into a rainbow spectrum. You spread it out into its component colours, and you find that this spectrum is crossed by almost a barcode of information, which you can read to tell you what elements are in the star, what its temperature is, how fast it's rotating, whether it has planets. All of these things come from that single bit of information. So what's happened is that technology has improved. The way we do that has improved spectacularly, most notably by the advent of, as I mentioned a minute ago, the electronic detectors that astronomers use. It used to be all done. It was photography that was used to record the images of stars and their spectra. But then when electronics took over, the improvement in sensitivity was enormous. An electronic detector is more than 20 times more sensitive to faint light than a photographic plate or film. So that was a huge step forward. And then technologies like fiber optics, which can transmit light. They look a bit like a guitar string, but if you put light at one end, it comes out of the other almost unreduced. And so we devised ways of using fiber optics so that you could look at stars not just one at a time to get all this information from their spectrum, but look at them dozens or hundreds or even now today thousands at a time.
Professor Fred Watson, Australia's astronomer at large, speaking there with Claudia Copeland, looking at the science behind twinkling stars.
Close to you.